Well, praise the Lord. I'd like you to do something with me when we were singing that one song about our chains have been broke and we've been set free. What came to me was that's in the past tense. A lot of people want to be set free. But we're saying one day I'm going to be set free. One day I'm going to break this addiction. One day. And we're always putting it in the future tense. And we need to start putting it in the past tense. And so I want you to close your eyes and just say quietly between you and God. I don't know if you have a certain area or whatever, but I want you to just to say, My chains have been broken, and I have been set free. You see, Jesus set you free on the cross almost 2,000 years ago. Now, you need to practice that, and every time Satan brings that up to you, you say, yeah, but I'm still struggling. That's okay, but still put it in the past tense anyway, because it is. And you'll find more victory coming that way as you start speaking that forth, that He set you free already. He can't do anything else as far as what He's already done. And start saying that, and the devil is a liar.
Amen.
And start saying, I am set free by the power of God. And then start drawing on to God and let Him set you free. I have a little miracle to share too. I've got a testimony, as our sister had testimonies. As you know, we've been working in Mexico for 21 years, and we used to live there and have the refuge, and Pastor Dwight would come down, and different ones from the church and different groups, and a lot of things have been happening, and we have two homes going, one downtown and one out in the country, but we felt, and it's been growing, we felt like God wanted to open up another one, and we were praying about Cancun. And it ended up, we started feeling that pull toward the border where we used to live, which would make it easier access for us to get in. And so we went down to McAllen, Texas, which is straight south of San Antonio to the border of Mexico. And the city across in Mexico is called Reynosa. And we went down there not knowing what God had, but by faith we went down there. We only had a few days. And a pastor, a friend of mine from Monterey, had a pastor friend in Reynosa. And he was going to meet us at the border and then introduce us to his pastor friend in a town called Rio Bravo, which is next to Reynosa and just over the border from Texas. In fact, parts of Rio Bravo, you can actually see the U.S. And so we went over there, and he introduced us to this pastor, and this pastor who had a church in Rio Bravo and his wife, they want to work with drug addicts. They want to work with young people that are on the streets, that are involved in drugs, maybe kids that don't have run away from home or whatever the situation. And so he said to us, you know, he said, it's a good time that you came here because there's an abandoned church with a parsonage that is, nothing's happening there. And if you want to start a refuge ministry there, that's open for you. Just pay the utilities. Well, you can't beat a deal like that. So he took us out there. And as he was driving us, I started thinking that it really looked familiar where we were going. And the closer we got, I realized that he was going to a church that we had helped build, actually built most of it, 16 years ago. I couldn't believe it. It was a church that we had worked in for several years. Dwight preached in it several times, ministered to the pastor. The pastor had passed away. He had died. He had a heart problem, and he had died. And we were both saddened by the news. But what happened is after he passed away, the church slowly began to just dissolve. until nobody else took it over and it was empty. And now here we are standing, my wife and I, in front of this same building that we built 16 years ago. Praise to God. Start a refuge ministry. Now, how many can see God in that? Out of all the churches and all the places that we could have went to, it ended up being the church that we started out at. One of the churches we had started out in the very beginning when we worked on the border. And here it was empty in a very strong drug area. In fact, one block away is where they deal the drugs. And when we were driving down the dirt road to go to this church, the pastor pointed out these young guys that were out there smoking marijuana. He said, they're the main drug dealers, and the cops are even involved with them. So that's why they were out there in public in the middle of the day doing their drugs. And so here we are coming full circle. And we still have the refuge ministry in Acapulco, but now we have one on the border in Rio Bravo in the church that we built. Amen. 16 Amen. Years ago. Amen. Amen. The other neat part about it is you helped finance it.
That's true.
Yeah, you did. Because I remember taking an offering up to do the floor by the cement. And so, whether you realize it or not, you are a part of that miracle. Amen. Amen. Now you can give yourself another hand. You've planted seed there. Not only that, but a minister by the name of Dick Mills prophesied to me one time, and he said, you're going to go back to where you came, and it's going to even be greater, and God's going to bless it. And so I was thinking, what does that mean? I'm going to go back to where I came. When I stood in front of the church, Ebenezer, it came to me, that prophecy that was given to me. You're going to go back to where you came, you started, and God's going to bless it. We have three workers there now ready to go. Now, another miracle. The three workers, and Dwight, I think, knows all three of them. They're three young men that we trained for this very purpose. And now they're working, reaching other. We knew them when they were little, and now they're working, reaching other people. You know, this little skit that the young people did brought tears to my eyes toward the end, because, well, it was anointed for one thing. If you couldn't feel the anointed, maybe we better get saved again or something. But the other thing is it reminds me of the needs that are out there, the young people that are under all kinds of temptation and pressures. Well, we all are, but especially the youth, and how only Jesus can set us free, only through Christ. I want to read a scripture verse to you from Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 18. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 18. Actually, Proverbs chapter 29, excuse me. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Just that first part. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The beginning that where it says where there is no vision, in the margin of my Bible, it says where there is no prophetic vision, the people perish. This testimony that I just gave you was a prophetic thing that happened. Pastor Dwight said that these children that came up, maybe they don't know what they want to be, but God does. This book is a prophetic book. What is happening today in our world is prophetic. Prophecy is coming to pass in the world today. You can see it in the economy, in the things of the world, but scripturally, we operate under a prophetic vision. God has given you and this church a prophetic vision to reach the world. We could say the Great Commission, but there has to be something that becomes personal to you. You see, prophetic things are personal to you. You can say, yeah, we have the Great Commission before us, but it's stronger than that. Prophecy is being fulfilled through this church in this community. I want you to think about that. I want it to settle into your spirit. God planted Pastor Dwight here, Kirk and others that are here. God planted you here for a prophetic purpose in this community. Until that is in your spirit, until that is birthed forth in you, you're going to have trouble taking authority over the devil and claiming this town as Jesus is Lord over Sisseton.
Come on.
You're just going to see it as just another work, another church of many churches. No, there is a prophetic purpose for your life and for this church and this work at this time. I liked it when Kirk says, you're here for a purpose. Because a lot of people, you see, church has just become something else on the schedule, just something else. It's like the guy I talked to in the hotel this morning. He said to me, we were the first two up, and he was sitting there, and he says to me, are you here to fish? I go, no, I'm here to preach. And he just looked at me, and I said, in a way, I'm going to be fishing. And he just laughed. He said, well, I came here to fish. I said, well, it would have been better if you were a duck hunter because all the rain. He said, you're right there. He came all the way up from Nebraska to fish. And there's nothing wrong with fishing, but what I'm saying is until we see that there is a prophetic purpose for you to be here this morning. Sure, you could have stayed home and you could have missed out on what God had for you, but there is a purpose for everything that God is doing through you and through this church. You see, the spiritual vision, Jesus works through the church. Why can't just sit at home and watch some preacher on TV? I don't need to go to church. You can do that and you can receive things, but you're not going to fulfill the prophetic vision that God has for your life because it has to happen through the church of Jesus Christ. There is a personal vision that we have from God, but there's the corporate anointing. And it happens through the church. The corporate anointing is the vision that the Father has given through the Great Commission. That's why Paul said to Timothy, appoint elders or appoint pastors in every city. We've got to fulfill the vision that Jesus started. Jesus just started to fulfill prophecy. And we're still fulfilling prophecy until Jesus comes again.
Come on.
Can you see that? Do you believe there's a reason you're here this morning?
Amen.
I want to tell you, I believe there was a healing anointing when we took communion. You know, sometimes we do things so many times, we start getting a little lazy spiritually. You know what I'm saying? Well, yeah, we're going to get through with the singing and through with communion. And, you know, I've got to be so, and you know what I'm saying? We're not involved in exactly what God wants to do today. You know what? I pray before every service and I ask God to give me by the Holy Spirit whatever He once said. Now, Kirk gave this service into the hands of the Lord, and so it's His service. It's a service from the Holy Ghost, right from heaven. And until you realize when Kirk's up here, or who's ever up here, or somebody sharing a testimony or pastor is saying something from his heart, that's the Holy Ghost talking.
Amen.
Oh, that's just Pastor Dwight. But if you really want to receive the blessing and fulfill the purpose, not only of this church corporately, but in your lives, we have to take heed to the Word of God. This book is prophetic. I'm not a prophet, neither the son of the prophet, but I can speak prophetic things into your life because this word is prophetic. It's anointed by God. This word will heal your body. This word will save your soul. This word will make you happy. And this word will make you whole.
Come on.
I didn't practice that. Just came to me. Sometimes God likes to rhyme. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Isaiah 1, 17 and 18. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. We're not a part of this economic recovery. We've already recovered economically. We're not a part of the swine flu because I'm not a pig. That's for the pigs. When I was in Acapulco just a month ago or a few weeks ago, they had the big influenza outbreak. They shut the whole city down. 12 people died in our city. They shut the whole city down. Even the Catholic Church stopped having mass. They even shut the church. Christians were all wearing masks. God bless you, brother. How are you doing? They wouldn't shake your hand because the government said, don't shake anybody's hand, don't touch anybody, because you may get the swine flu. But I'd already made my mind up, I'm not a pig, so I wasn't going to get it. It's for the pigs. And so, you know, there's, God bless you. Yeah, Jesus is my healer. And so I said to the Lord, because my wife said, do you want me to get you an early flight out? The Americans were just fleeing. The Acapulco Continental was flying out. And I said, no. And I'm not bragging. I'm bragging on Jesus. I said, no, because I'm here for a prophetic purpose.
Come on.
And I'm not leaving until my regular day comes, which was 9 days. I said, I'm not leaving because I need to be here and encourage the kids. God said, have them memorize Psalm 91. They quote it every night. No plague shall come near my dwelling place. You know, the angels of God shall hold us up, you know. And so they'd quote it, and they really meant business. You know, it's interesting when you're in a tough situation, you want the word to be real then. And you will quote it, and you will pray, and you'll seek the Lord. And they were quoting it because I could literally feel a spirit of fear over the city. They were selling masks on the street corners. They go to me, do you want a mask? I go, no, I feel fine. That's for people that have the influenza. I feel great. I don't need a mask. I heard anyway that the masks wasn't going to help you much. I mean, people were wearing it, riding motorcycles, and, you know, what good is the mask going to do? We'd go to a church service at the church, and, you know, the preacher's trying to talk, and they want me to say, I couldn't understand them. Nobody shake your hand. And the Mexicans are real, they love, they're emotional. They'll give you a little kiss on the cheek and shake your hand and hug you. Not that time. God bless you, you know. God bless you, brother. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you, yeah. One lady did shake my hand. I think I shook three of her fingers or something. She just... I'm not judging them. I mean, that was a precaution. That there's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is we're under Psalm 91. I wasn't planning on getting the flu. So when we finally left, and not one person, not one young person out of the 60 got any sickness at all. Up to this day, we checked, not one got sick.
Praise God.
Not one. And when I got on the Continental airline, there were still a few Americans and they were wearing their masks. I sat next to this guy and he goes, "You got a fever?" That was his first words. He said, "Yeah, I'm serious." He looked at me, said, "You got a fever?" I go, "I don't think so. It's so hot in Acapulco, you feel like you have a fever all the time." I go, "I don't think I do." And I'd watch him when he did things. He, you know, because you're not supposed to touch your hands. Do we believe what God says? You see, what I'm saying is the safest place you can be is in God's will.
Come on.
I was on a... God had given us a date for me to go down there. My wife and I were in agreement. I was going to go down there for 9 days... And God was going to take care of us. So why would I be afraid if I'm under God's protection? See? Not only that, on the fifth floor of the refuge, we had the strongest earthquake we've ever had, 6.5. No, it was 6. Yeah, 6.5. And I want to tell you, the devil, I'll tell you, that 9 days I was there, he was working overtime. That place just shook so bad, the mirror fell off the wall and busted, things were moving, plaster was coming down, I grabbed the desk, that didn't do any good because that was moving. I didn't know whether to run down the stairs or stay there, and I thought if I run down the stairs and the building collapses, it'll fall right on me. But God given us a promise, the building wasn't going to fall. So I just saying, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." 30 seconds, it shook, cars had accidents, rock boulders came over the highway. Nobody was killed but one woman, but it was another thing that happened while I was there. Got stopped by the police for running a red light. I never ran the red light, so I walked to the back. I had another preacher with me. He was inside the car praying, binding the devil. I'll tell you, prayer works. They always get a tip. They'll never let you go until you pay them something. And there's two of them, and the cops there are not the friendliest people in the world. And I said, "I didn't run a red light." And, you know, I did, in the Christian realm, I did the Star Wars thing. I didn't run a red light, you know. And they're looking at each other, and he goes, "He didn't run a red light." Because they're, you know, they got the mind of the world. We've got a higher power, the Holy Spirit. We can speak with authority. I said, "I didn't run a red light." "He didn't run a red light." And the other guy goes, "Well, I think he did." And this pastor's praying. I said, "I didn't run a red light." And they're looking at each other and they finally go, which they've never done before. They go, "We got the wrong vehicle," and they left. Amen. I'm bragging on Jesus, but we need to take authority over the things of the world. Whether it's sickness, disease, or temptation, or whatever it is, we need to take authority over it in the name of Jesus and stand our ground. I didn't run a red light. I love it. I thought, man, this really works. But you see, Jesus gets the glory, not the force. It wasn't the force. It was Jesus. Amen. If you want to do it in the name of Jesus. Don't do it, the force be with you. No, Jesus, the Holy Ghost be with you. One more scripture verse in Acts 16, verse Acts 16, verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Three things we need to have to fulfill the prophetic vision. We need spiritual ears, spiritual eyes, and spiritual power.
Come on.
Paul had all three. He had spiritual ears. He could hear. He could see into the spiritual realm. And he walked in spiritual power. And that's what the church is lacking in many churches, is the spiritual power. We need to see the needs, have plans, and then put it to action. To see the needs, have spiritual eyes, have plans, spiritual ears, what does God want us to do? And then to put it into action, spiritual power. We need the power of God. When we come into a city, we take authority over it. When you do your crusades, I always pray before a church service. I bind the devil. I say, you will not interfere with this church service in the name of Jesus. I bind you in Jesus' name. We need to take authority over things. The problem isn't with you. It's with the devil that tries to come in here to disrupt. And you can bind him in a city. You can take authority over these things. And these three things he had, you say, but Paul, he's seen a vision. You want to know what's stronger than seeing a vision? Because seeing a vision is a one-time happening. What's stronger is what God puts in your spirit. Because I prayed about this. I said, Lord, Paul had a vision. And, you know, I haven't seen any visions. My wife has, but I haven't. But God showed me. He says, but I've put it in your spirit by the Holy Ghost, and it'll never leave you. That's stronger than a vision, because it's something that's there in your spirit. It's there in your heart. We've got to reach the lost. We've got to take authority over this perverse spirit of appetite. We've got to take authority over these sexual perversions that are attacking our children. I just loved it when the kids went up here and Dwight took authority over that and put a protection over the kids by the blood of Jesus. Satan, you're not going to pass the bloodline. You're not going to come into my home. You're not going to touch my children. There's no pervert coming around my family in the name of Jesus, because it's just a demon. It's a devil from hell. It's a devil from hell. Why would some old guy in his 50s go after little children? That's a demon and it's a devil, and we can take authority over it, and he cannot touch us or our kids. You don't have to walk in fear. You can walk in the power of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray over my children and I pray over my grandchildren. Nobody's going to touch them in an inappropriate way. Nobody's going to affect them in any way, because the blood of Jesus is over them. I'm serious. Man, it's quiet. That was the Holy Ghost. That was the Holy Ghost. Don't walk in fear. I felt the whole city of Acapulco in fear of this flu, because it was in Mexico City, and they're all getting ready for it. They're getting ready for it. And it came. It came with an earthquake and everything else, the attacks of the devil. What's attacking your city? What's attacking your schools? What's attacking the churches in this church, in this community, to make them lethargic? What are the attacks of the enemy? Come on, intercessors, rise up. Let's kick some butt. Hallelujah. Whoops. I'm serious. It's time to take authority. Don't just let things happen. We're not living in a fatalistic world where, well, the world's just going down the drain, and Some guy, he's always sending me a Christian negative things about Obama and on and on and on. And I finally said, you know, God can control the hearts of the kings. We need to start taking authority. Pray over our president. God can turn his heart around. Quit just looking at the negative issues because it's not going to do any good anyway. Man, it's time for the church to rise up. This is the greatest hour for God to show forth his glory. God is going to pour out his glory like never before. Amen. And his power like never before. Get ready, church.
Come on.
Amen. I'm serious. Get ready for a great... Some of you are ready. I can see it in your eyes. You're ready. You're ready. Others are saying, I hope you're right, preacher. I hope you're right. There's a guy I do a Bible study in Le Sueur, and I always tell him something really positive and something good from, I mean, right out of the Word. And he always answers with, I hope so. You got to have more than hope. You got to have faith. You got to have faith. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man that he needs to repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken and shall he not bring it to pass? God's word is true. He's bringing it to pass through the prophetic vision that Jesus started. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're not the tail, we're the head. We're not beneath, we're above. We're the victorious church of Jesus Christ. And you need to start saying that every day.
Come on.
Amen. Woo! Hallelujah! Woo! I tell you, I feel like dancing. I just preach myself happy. But see, I've been preaching all morning this morning. Since about 6 o'clock, I've been preaching all morning. That's what I do. I came here to preach. I didn't come here to fish. I came here to bring a prophetic word to you that you are the victor. Your sickness has to go. Your disease has to go. It's a benefit of God. It's one of the benefits that he's healed us. We just took communion to prove it to the devil that we, by his stripes, we are healed. When Dwight confessed it out, I said, I take it. It's mine. I take it. When somebody preaches it out, say, it's mine, I take it. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You need to take it. You're not going to offend God. He wants you to take it. My God, he's holding it out to you. Come on, take it. It's yours. Don't be pushed around by the devil.
Come on.
You start pushing him around. Because my Bible tells me, draw nigh to God, and he draws nigh to you. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Resist him with the name of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb. He'll flee in terror is what the Greek says. He'll flee in terror. He's afraid of you when you put on the armor of God because he thinks it's Jesus inside that armor. And it is. It is. I don't know, Dwight, I can't say much more. What else can I tell you? I feel like a cheerleader up here. That's okay. Give me a J. Give me an E. Give me an S. Give me a U. Give me an S. What's that spell? What's that spell? What's that spell? Stand to your feet and give them the glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on. Come on, if Walmart can do it, so can we. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God. I like going to Walmart early because it's not as busy. And I hear, give me a W. Give me an A. And I mean, the people first, I'm still looking for my coffee. And they're shouting out, Walmart, Walmart, Walmart. They're excited about Walmart. And they're the biggest selling retail store today in the world. Walmart. He must have done something right. Both my kids work for Walmart at the home office. I call it Wally World. My son-in-law gets mad. I say, it's a Colt. He goes, no, it isn't. I go, yeah, it is. He says, why do you say that? I said, they make all their vendors have a home office in Bentonville. They own the city of Bentonville. They have their own bank. They bought all the liquor licenses, so there's no liquor allowed in Bentonville. Well, that's a good thing. They won't allow Kmart in. I say, Beto, you're working for the, and no offense if you're working at Walmart. No offense. We have fun. But we have Jesus. We should be so excited to have Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, for each one that's here this morning, Father. We're here because of you. We're here because of you. We know that you have good things in store. We know that your power is being manifested all over this world. We know that you're coming back soon. But Father, help us to get a glimpse. Help us to get that vision, that prophetic vision that Paul had to reach the lost, to go out at any cost, to minister to those that are hurting right here in our own backyard, to minister to those that need Jesus, those that have come for fishing, and we can say, well, I've come to preach. I've come to preach the gospel of life, the gospel of light. Help us, Father, to be like that testimony who she led several to the Lord and she's looking for more. She's claiming souls. Help us to start claiming souls in the name of Jesus. And we'll be careful, Father, to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you.